Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
All right, let's get into it, man. Big news of the day. A shocker. There's no other way to describe it. A shocker. Because just about everyone, there were a few people, you know, Sean Payton said all week long, we haven't named a starter. And everybody else was saying, of course, it's going to be Jameis Winston. He played the whole second half, but for seven plays that Taysom Hill played. When Drew Brees got hurt last week, it's going to be Jameis Winston. He's just a better all-around quarterback. He's more accomplished, so on and so forth. And today it comes out that it is not Jameis Winston. It is Taysom Hill. And Rob, I'm going to give you first dibs at that. What are your thoughts?
I think it's iffy. This is Sean Payton rolling the dice. There's something here to lose. And
You mean because they're battling for the division crown and for the first seed in the NFC.
And for the first seed in the NFC. Yeah. It could wind up being huge if you wind up losing a game.
If you get the bye.
And because your quarterback, you know what I mean, isn't up to par. And I just say that Taysom Hill has a lot to still prove for the limited amount of
That's an understatement.
You know, for the limited amount of snaps that this guy's had. And production. I mean, this is like a. This isn't like we're out of it. Let's put the kid in.
You want to hear about it? Let me give you some numbers to back up what you're saying.
Oh, you got numbers.
This is career. This is not one season. This is not this season. This is not a game. Because it could be. When you hear the numbers, you're going to think it might be a game. Or even a half. Career. Taysom Hill, 11 for 20 passing the football. 11 for 20. He's thrown the ball 20 times, Rob. A total 255 yards, zero touchdowns, one interception. And remember, for all those Taysom Hill fans out there, he's 30.
Right. He's not a 24-year-old kid.
Right out of school.
Exactly.
Yes. 30.
And that's my point is that he really hasn't had that much success. He hasn't played that much. And to be put in a situation like this where Jameis Winston, for I don't know what the practice is like, Chris. Obviously, we would just be guessing and speculating.
Right, we're not.
But he's a far more accomplished quarterback. And I looked at him more like the same thing where Teddy Bridgewater came in last year. Taysom Hill was on a team last year, Chris, but Teddy Bridgewater played. They went 5-0, got Teddy a new deal, you know, to go to the Panthers or whatever. And I looked at the Jameis Winston thing as well. This guy threw for 5,000 yards last year. I got the 30 interceptions, but he also had 30 touchdowns, right? And he had 5,000 yards. So my only thing is Taysom Hill better light it up. And maybe this is it. Maybe he knows. Sean Payton knows more than we know, and this is his chance for the guy that he's been paying all along and putting him in during certain circumstances for Drew Brees. And you know, he's got the dipsy doodle and stuff that we don't know. And if they keep winning, then Sean Payton is that coach. If they stumble and bumble, and obviously they could still make a change, but if they do and lose a couple games and wind up not getting the first overall seed or winning the division – we'll go back to this because this is a questionable move.
We'll go back to it if, say, they start Taysom Hill the next two games, he looks bad and they lose. And obviously it would cost them seeding in the NFL playoffs. We'll go back to this if Winston replaces him in game three because now Brees is on the injured list. He's going to miss at least three games. So let's say Winston comes in that third game. They lost the first two, and Winston's great and they win. Or Winston's pretty good and they win.
Right.
That's when we would go back to it. But Rob, what this tells me, and I'm looking forward to this game even more now. I was really looking forward to it with Jameis because I thought in this offense with a little more ball control offense as far as the type of passes they throw.
And he has a hell of a running back to neutralize. Right. You know what I mean? Like
it's a good setup for him. But what it tells me is he hasn't looked that good in practice. Cause you mentioned it. They got a lot to lose. And Taysom Hill's not making the type of money where you're just like, you know what, we got to bite the bullet and play this dude at some point. He's making $10, $11 million a year. So I know that's a lot for a guy that rarely plays.
You just mentioned
but
the
in
stats.
The grand scheme of things, yeah. In the grand scheme of things, it's not like a ton of money that's breaking the franchise. So if Winston was really looking good in practice, they would have been like, you know what, we're going with Winston. And he would have made them start thinking he's the quarterback of the future more so than Taysom. Now, again, we don't know what either one of them will do. But we'll see it. And you know, this also came out, Rob, that Jameis, this is not a 50-50 deal. This is not, you know, Jameis is going to get his shot too. Taysom's just starting. This is Taysom Hill's show. And Jameis Winston is only, according to Diana Russini of ESPN, Jameis is only going to play if he needs to because of injury. So, like, if Taysom gets hurt and they got to throw him in. So, they're planning on giving the ball to Taysom Hill. Well, and again, none of us know exactly what he's going to look like. We've seen him in little gimmick situations.
We haven't seen enough. There's not
right,
enough
so he
sample
might be
size.
Good, but I don't think he'll be great. This guy had four season-ending injuries at BYU. He was there 5 years. Four season-ending injuries. You look at the way he plays, and it's physical, baby. You talk about him running the football, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Mike Vick. They don't run it like this dude. This dude is running it like a fullback.
But here's the
and
other thing,
he
too.
He won't last, I don't think.
The way the team is set up, for Breeze is different. This was always why teams weren't interested in Tim Tebow, like what you have to have around him to make him effective in the style of play. And now, you know, you're going from Drew Breeze, who's not mobile, Chris, who doesn't play like that, to a guy who's now upset the apple cart. So I just wonder about that as well and how Sean Payton manipulates that so that it works.
I think part of it is that, and I do think Taysom Hill throws it better than Tim Tebow. Again, we haven't seen a ton of it.
No, I'm not talking about just throwing.
Tebow
I'm just saying
bad,
this,
yeah.
But I'm just saying that the roster you need for him. That's
right. It. But I think the way, I mean, let's face it, they don't throw the ball downfield with Drew Brees. They little, you know, dinks and dunks, you know, throwing a lot to Kamara, the running back, and you got slants by the receivers and things like that. So I think they feel like Hill should be able to do that. And as I was talking about Winston, they're all about don't make mistakes. Take what's easy. Let the running backs or the receivers do the work for you. Just take what's there. You don't have to make the big play all the time. And Winston has been the guy that's gone for the big play. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. And remember this too, Rob. He not only threw 30 interceptions last year, he had 12 fumbles. So they don't like the turnovers there in New Orleans. And I think that's a big part of why Taysom Hill is getting this shot.
I don't think that's fair. He hasn't always been like that. Last year was, to me, an aberration. It was as bad as it gets.
12 fumbles?
No, but I'm just talking about in general, the whole turnover thing. Brett Favre, everybody thinks he's a great quarterback. The all-time leading interception thrower in the history of the NFL.
But again,
as well.
That's a whole different era.
I'm just saying, but it happened though. Is all I'm saying is like you
he
can't
had,
hook
he
that
always
on him.
Has a lot of fumbles. Winston, he had 10 his second year, 15 his
but he
third
also had
year,
five. He also threw for 5,000 yards, and not too many guys.
Yeah,
do
but
that
they were
well.
7-9.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Interesting quote. I think, you know, last year even, but certainly a few years ago, would have been just obvious But Jerry Jones, as he always is, was on the radio in Dallas, 105.3 The Fan. And he was asked about Ezekiel Elliott, and he's struggling this year. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And here's what he said.
I know what I see him do relative to the kind of thing he brings to football, his physicalness, his enthusiasm, his ability to just his innate. He's our best football player. He's our best one.
All right. He said Ezekiel Elliott's their best football player. Your thoughts?
I agree. I mean, I think when he's playing right, when the here's a good stat here, Chris. When through his first 25 games, when he rushed for 100 yards, guess the Cowboys' record for his the first 25 times he rushed for 100 or more yards.
21-4.
There you go.
No, that's too much.
No, that's right. That's spot on. That's spot on.
So what was it? His first 25 games when he rushed,
where he rushed for 100 yards or more. 21-4. And this is what Tony Dungy was talking about when Dak got hurt, is that he was like, oh, it's a blessing in disguise. And obviously not, he wasn't talking about Dak getting hurt as being a good thing. But the idea that the Cowboys would go back to their strength, which was when they were running the football and then Dak would do what he had to do, Chris, sprinkle in stuff. You know, not turn the ball over, keep the chains moving on a third down and long, you know, and he was doing it, and they were doing fine. But once this offense somehow got pass happy and it all became mostly Dak, and I'm not saying that Ezekiel was playing great and they didn't give him the football. Sometimes, Chris, when you're down big early, you have to abandon the run, right? We got that.
Right.
I get it. I'm not foolish. I know what the game plan is, and he becomes null and void. You're down 21-3. You got to throw the football. All right, you can't grind out
quick.
Right? Because you can't grind out a drive and eat 8 minutes to get 7 points. It takes too long.
Right.
So I thought the Cowboys were better when it was about Ezekiel Elliott running the football mostly and Dak throwing it secondary, and that's totally flipped around. And since it has, the Cowboys haven't been as good. It's just a fact. They just haven't played as well and haven't won. There's other circumstances, their defense, there's some other question marks. And Ezekiel Elliott's not the same running back he was. But I always thought he was the better player, and that when he went, so did the Cowboys. And it just hadn't seemed to be that way the last year and a half or whatever, 2 years going back to last, you know, 2 seasons ago.
Well, you just said it, Rob. When Ezekiel Elliott is right, I agree. Look, the first 3 years they were together, there's no doubt. I mean, and Dak was fine. Dak was good, but there was no doubt that Ezekiel Elliott was the better player. He was the best running back in the league. He led the league in rushing 2 years out of his first 3 years.
Right.
He averaged over 100 yards his first year as a rookie, over 5 yards a carry, almost 100 yards the next 2 years per game. So there's no doubt at that point. But Zeke, I said it last year, Rob. Remember, I didn't think he looked like the same running back, but his stats were still pretty good. He still rushed for over 1,300 yards. He was at about 4.5 yards
but
a carry, which is essentially what he – right. But you know, it was hard. It was just the eye test because numbers-wise, he was still pretty good. But this year, he hasn't been that guy. And you're right. Look, the offensive line has had a lot of injuries. The defense obviously has been bad. But here's the thing. The first two games, they did force-feed Zeke. He ran it 22 times each of the first two games. I mean, you're not going to get many more carries than that in an NFL game today as a running back. That's a lot. And he didn't go for 100 yards. He hasn't gone for 100 yards this season in a game. He's averaging 3.7 yards a carry this season, which is not good. We all know that to be pretty good is four yards a carry. Anything below that is not good. And that's where he's at right now. And look, he's young. He's 25 years old. I think he can get it back. It kind of looks, Rob, And I don't know, you know, I'm not there, obviously, at practices every day. But it just, I don't know if he's not in as good a shape. I don't think it's the wear and tear yet, because he's still a young kid. I know he's taking a lot of hits, but you know what I mean? Like, he just doesn't have the burst right now.
But you also be careful with just looking at carries. When did they come? What was the circumstances?
Well, they probably came in the first half, because in the second half, they had to throw the ball.
I'm just saying.
But running him in the first half wasn't getting him anywhere. He's got one carry of 20 yards or more this year. One.
Nah, I'm not. He just hasn't been good.
There's no doubt this year Dak Prescott had to, you know, when he was healthy, obviously, was their best player.
See, I disagree. I think a lot of – they were down in big holes early.
But it's still a gift to be able to bring somebody back.
Well, but I think those stats to me –
everybody can't do that.
No, I agree. But also those stats to me can be misleading, in that defenses play a little different when they have a big lead. They want you to throw the ball in front of them. I've seen it. The only game that they really did win was that Atlanta game, and everybody beat Atlanta. Everybody came back against Atlanta. And Atlanta all had to just secure an onside kick, and Dallas loses that game. So I get it. His stats are eye-popping at the end, 450 yards, 500 yards. But most of those are stat pad for yards. And they just – when the game was in the balance – in the first half,
they were giving it to Zeke.
He wasn't that good.
And
well, Dak wasn't that good either.
Him anywhere.
I just don't. I think that Dak's numbers are totally inflated, and they didn't win, so they didn't mean as much to me.
Yeah, but they meant more than Zeke's numbers, because at least Dak had numbers.
But when Zeke was – but the difference,
that
Chris,
that was
is,
years ago, though.
No,
right?
But I'm trying
to
tell you.
If you want to go back to 2017,
I'm
Zeke
just saying,
was better.
Yes. I get
now?
That, but Dak to me, ever since they took the chains off and let him throw the football all over the yard, they don't win. But do they win?
It ain't like Zeke don't get carries.
No, but they don't win.
Zeke.
That's my issue. Why didn't they win? They went to Dak Prescott.
They're not that good of a team, number one. And I'm not saying Dak is, you know, a top five quarterback in the league. All I'm saying is at this point in time, he's gotten better, and Zeke has gotten worse. Now, that could change. I think if I'm Zeke, I'm this offseason, man, I'm doing some things differently, and I'm getting myself in the greatest shape I can, and I think he still can at 25 years old.
I can't believe he's only 25.
Right.
Oh,
yeah, I mean, you know, but right now, Rob, I don't see how an argument can be made that he's been better. You know, he was better than Dak when Dak was healthy.
He's been better than Dak the entire time he's been in the NFL. If you put
it
all together.
No, I don't know that anybody would argue that.
He's better than Dak.
But I'm talking about now. How's he better now? He hadn't run the – and I know he's better than Tony Pollard, but Tony Pollard's running the ball better than him this year.
He's better than Tony Pollard.
You got to give me some evidence.
I'm just saying Dak's numbers to me are inflated because they're down big, and that takes him out of the game. That takes Ezekiel out of the game, Chris, when you're down 21-3.
He ran the ball over 300 times last year, Rob. It ain't like he's not getting the rock. He's just not delivering.
Yeah, but they're also – that depends on the circumstances and when they are. I understand
if
what you're saying. They're not
big,
like the first 3 years.
Right. That's
but,
all
but,
I'm saying.
But they've been down big, and that takes them out of the game.
But he's still getting carries. As you said, when they're down big in the second half, they're going to be throwing the ball. And so that means most of his carries have come in the first halves. And they're getting down. He's not able to lead their ball control offense. And there's other – again, I said there's injuries on the offensive line. But he's not running with the same power, with the same burst that he did in his first 3 years. And I'll give you that. Where I would disagree with you on Dak, because obviously the number – I mean, come on. He's averaging almost 375 yards a game. So, yeah, that's inflated.
Those are inflated,
but it's
right.
Not totally inflated. Like, yes, those are – that's out of this world. He's not that good. But – the numbers aren't totally inflated. And just because you're down doesn't mean you're always going to rally because the opponent goes in prevent defense. There's a lot of quarterbacks that don't rally.
No, we get that because last year in Philadelphia in week 17, they didn't have a touchdown with Dak in a big game. So you're right. You don't always get to come back and rally and win the game. But I'm just saying, over the last year and a half, when the Cowboys have been bad, I would look and just say, once they took the reins off of Dak, the team changed. It's not the same team. When they were running the football effectively, and Chris, I'm going to give you, say that Ezekiel could play better. I'm not saying it's not any of his fault. Now, that's not what I'm saying. I just think if the Cowboys are going to get to the Super Bowl or be that team or whatever, it's about Ezekiel Elliott, not about Dak Prescott,
well,
and he's a better player.
If he's still that guy. Like I said, you get no argument from me from the first 3 years. None whatsoever. You could even argue for last year. But this year, you can't be averaging 3.5 yards a carry and be the best player on your team.
3.7. Don't shortchange the man.
3.8.
Okay.
63 yards a game, which ain't, you know, look, it's easy to get 1,000 yards now. He on pace for 1,000 about. 63 yards a game, but he just hasn't been the same. And again, he's 25. I think he can come back from it, but he's got to rally. He's got to, you know, get back in the lab in the offseason and become the Ezekiel Elliott of old. And you're right. Look, Dak is not Pat Mahomes. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not any of those guys. So I hear you on that. You know, but if Zeke doesn't get back to being the old Zeke, and some of it's, obviously you need an offensive line. I don't care who you are as a running back. You need an offensive line. They got to be healthy and good.
No,
but
if Zeke, the
you know,
there.
If he can't get back to what he was or close, then he's not going to be able to carry them like he did his first few years.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Maurice Jones-Drew, who was a Pro Bowl running back himself several years ago, he is saying, now he's an NFL Network analyst doing a good job at that. He believes that, you know, when we talk MVP, it's Pat Mahomes, it's Aaron Rodgers, it's Kyler Murray, it's, you know, Tom Brady, Josh Allen. Like, it's all these quarterbacks. I mean, we'll go deep in the quarterback position. We'll go 5, 6, 7 deep at quarterback and not mention a running back. And he says, look, the guy that should be the front runner for the MVP right now is Alvin Kamara, the great running back for the New Orleans Saints. Think he's on pace, Rob G, correct me if I'm wrong. Think he's on pace for about 2,500 yards from scrimmage.
That is correct.
Which is obviously a tremendous achievement.
Yeah,
It's not like rushing for 2,000 yards.
Rushing for 2,000 yards. You know what I mean? There's a difference between that. And I'm not knocking it. It's a lot of yards, and it would be a great season. But I hate to break it to you. I just – sometimes stats are lost.
Look,
and I know what a big part of –
It's going to be a quarterback.
That's the league we're in, Chris,
but
right?
Do you think, though, it definitely should, just this year, be a quarterback? Like, you don't think Kamara is, you know, worthy right now with the season that he's having? They're 6-3. He's a huge part of that team. You know, now granted, he hadn't even rushed for 500 yards. So he's not even on pace for 1,000. And what I was saying, Rob, but he's caught 67 balls. So probably be a career high for him. What I was saying yesterday, and the last running back to win the MVP was Adrian Peterson, 2012, had 2,000 yards rushing, over 2,000. That's really what you have to do nowadays to win MVP as a running back. I mean, I think 2,000 is, I mean, yeah, maybe it could be 1,900, you know, maybe the high 1,800s, but you got to be close to 2,000 yards to really even be seriously considered. And I think your team has to be really good for you to be considered for an MVP nowadays. I don't think that's the way it should be, but that's the way it is.
I think that's where we are because of where the league is. And we mentioned it before. We talked about when the running backs were just as big as some of these quarterbacks. And now the whole notion that running backs are disposable and you get 3, 4, 5, maybe 5 years out of them and you move on, and there's another guy in the backfield and now you got two of them, and everybody's not even getting three carries in the same possession.
You know what reason it is too, Rob, and to your point, back in the day, and we talked about it, when the Earl Campbells, the O.J. Simpsons, the Walter Paytons, the Eric Dickersons, who were carrying it 25 times every Sunday. They, back then, it was one back, right? They weren't alternating with two and three backs. And here's the thing. One of the major reasons the running back position is so interchangeable now, and you can just get a guy that's, anybody can kind of fill in for anybody else, is because they don't carry it that much. Most guys can't carry it 25 times a game and stay upright for the whole season or for years. They can't. A Tony Pollard, we talked about this earlier with Dallas. Now, Tony Pollard looks great in his little spurts, right? He's getting more yards per carry than Zeke. He's had, has more bursts this season than Zeke. But you couldn't give it to him 22 times a game. He's not that, he'd get broken in half. And that's why now the running backs are so interchangeable. So there were so few guys that could carry a load like that for a season. But a lot of guys that can carry it 10 times a weekend, you know what I mean? And catch the ball and out of the backfield and things like that. So that's another reason these guys are so interchangeable nowadays.
Yeah, I agree. And it will be, you'd have to have a Herculean type performance, Chris, in order to shake that award away from what it's turned into being, which is the best quarterback in the league award. That's
right.
And if you want to change it and give one to the quarterback and then have an MVP or something, it's like, the dilemma we've seen in baseball sometimes where, Chris, a pitcher has that kind of a unbelievable year and he wins the Cy Young, right? Only pitchers can win. And he wins the MVP. He wins both.
Right.
I mean, but this has turned into definitely a quarterback award. We get where the NFL is, we're passing, and what a passing league this is, and shattering all the records everywhere, all over NFL America. But I think it's been, what did you say, 8 years, 2012, right?
Yep.
Adrian Peterson. I mean, eight years.
And remember, back
time.
In the day, Lawrence Taylor won it 1 year.
Right. Oh yeah, and was deserving. That's what an impact Lawrence Taylor had. I was in New York, covered Giants games. Chris, sidebar writer during some of that time, and he was as big as anybody in the league. Lawrence Taylor, like a star.
I'm gonna tell you one thing that, and I agree with you, I don't think Kamara's gonna get it. Like I said, he's not even on pace to run for 1,000 yards. But one thing that could help him is that Drew Brees is out, and now, of course, they're going with Taysom Hill. At some point, maybe it's Jameis Winston, who knows. But if the quarterback, whoever it is for New Orleans, plays poorly and Kamara is carrying the team to victories and putting up numbers, and he's clearly the reason they're winning, say they go 4 or 5 games without Brees, that could help him. Because that would make it evident that he is the reason. He is the one carrying the team. Because Hill or Winston was really struggling at quarterback, but they're still winning. So, I don't really foresee that happening, because obviously he needs one of them to get him the ball to really be effective. But that's the type of thing that maybe could get him seriously in the conversation.
Yeah, that would probably be it. But even when you think about, and it just depends, and God forbid they lose a game or two and then he's totally out of it. You know what I mean? Because then it'd be like, okay, no Drew Brees, no winning, right?
Right.
If he's the MVP, he should be able to help them win games. And that's where I think it's a double-edged sword. I think you're right.